Last time I was with you, we spoke on Christian joy. Christian joy from the first epistle of John, chapter 1, when John says, "We write these things unto you that your joy may be full." I want to speak today on Christian peace. Christian peace. And in two sections, I want to speak first of all about a reconciling peace through justification. That's the first point from Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. And secondly, I want to speak about a personal peace through sanctification in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. So that's the way we will look at it this morning. About Christian peace. First of all, then, a reconciling peace through justification. What does peace mean? How is it defined? Some might say that if you ask them that peace is simply a quietness or a tranquility. That's how they may define peace. Others might say it is peace is a freedom from contention or argument between friends and neighbours and family. They might define peace in that way. Others still might suggest that peace is a cessation from war. From soldiers and armies fighting each other, from planes flying over and dropping bombs on you, nations at peace with one another. Some people might define peace in that way. You see, all these things can describe what peace is in a natural and general sense. But the peace that I want to speak about today is not a peace with humanity, but a peace with God. The most important kind of peace. Peace with God. Paul tells us here in Romans chapter 5, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." This peace with God distinguishes it from peace with mankind. You see, we may have peace with God and no peace with mankind. Or we may have peace with mankind, with our neighbours and our friends, and know absolutely nothing of peace with God. The Apostle Paul in the early chapters of Romans, and I'm sure we've all read Romans over a period in our lives, over and over again. And the Apostle Paul, in these early chapters, from Romans chapter 1 to chapter 4, has proved that justification is by faith alone. By faith alone. And the Jewish people, they believed and thought that the promises of God was entirely for themselves, to the absolute exclusion of the Gentiles. The Gentiles were simply unclean dogs and had no part in the promises of God. And the Apostle Paul, writing here to the Romans, proves otherwise. He determines and proves that not only are the Gentiles included, but they have that same entitlement through the gospel to what the Jews have. That it was by justification, by faith alone. It wasn't just a descending line from Abraham by that fleshly descent, but it was by spiritual ascent that we are the children of God, who are called not by by merit of what anything that we have done, but by our call by the grace of God. So the apostle, having shown clearly that justification is by faith alone, that it is a God-given faith in order that we might believe the gospel. You see, dear friends, this morning, we do not produce faith. We do not make it up in and of ourselves. Faith is a gift of God. And so, having established that justification is by faith alone, the Apostle Paul now proceeds to show us the effects that are produced in the lives of those men and women that have been justified by faith. And at this point, it's important for us to remember our former condition, when we were at enmity with God. For there was a time in our lives when we were at enmity with God, when we were the enemies of God. And this condition was sufficiently proved by our rebellion and our disregard for God's laws when we walked in our own ways, being dead in trespasses and sins. So it was sufficiently proved by our own behaviour and what we'd done. You see, in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, there is a summary statement, and it tells us this: wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so sin has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. It's a summary statement. And that dreadful state persisted in our lives until we were called by the gospel. Until there was that time in our lives when the gospel broke in through the darkness, and we were convicted by that gospel. We were convicted by the word of God, and in repentance we turned away 180 degrees from the way that we were going, and we repented and turned to God and asked for forgiveness and asked for mercy. And at that moment we were justified by faith. We were justified by faith. And now the Apostle Paul tells us, when we were in receipt of that condition, that we were justified by faith and that we have peace with God. And you see, this reconciling peace with God is judicial in its effect, because it deals with the legal liability. And we all had a legal liability that came down from our first parents by imputed sin. You see, we just didn't accumulate sin, adding one sin onto another, until we had a whole pile of sins. The Apostle Paul tells us that in Adam all die. We were born that way. We were born in sin, as David said, and shapen in iniquity. And as a consequence, the wrath of God was on each and every one of us. That was our position. That was the way we were. And it's so important for us to understand this fundamental truth, that justification by faith facilitates a reconciling peace with God. Faith is the mechanism. Faith is that mechanism that enables us to believe the gospel, and then we are justified by faith. Faith is the mechanism. But then in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, the Apostle Paul tells us that this peace with God is through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God is through our Lord Jesus Christ. This last part of verse 1 gives, if we can see it, a note of triumph. and a note of exclusiveness to what the apostle has said. A note of triumph. A note of triumph because of the finished work of Christ and what was wrought by the divine decree at Calvary. A note of triumph. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In the doxology in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20, the apostle says, "Now the God of peace," and you notice that very term, the God of peace. God made peace with us. We couldn't make peace with God. We were enemies. We were rebels. That's the way it was. God came to us. "Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every work to do his will, working in you that which is well pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever." The same note of triumph through our Lord Jesus Christ. And in this verse in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, we have this note of triumph, that it is through our Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, we have a note of exclusiveness in this verse. What does that mean? We have a note of exclusiveness because it tells us it is only through the Lord Jesus Christ that we can have peace with God. It's exclusive. You remember what the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse 6, "I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." Exclusiveness. There is this note of exclusiveness in this verse. It is only through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, dear friends, today we cannot achieve or secure peace with God in any other way. We simply cannot. There is one way, and there is one way only. The Lord stated it in John 14 and verse 6, "I am the way." And the Apostle Paul is making it clear to us today, it is only through our Lord Jesus Christ. What about you, Ian, this morning? Do we know, have we experienced this reconciling peace with God? For it is possible to come to a meeting like this for years and years and years and still not be saved, still not know that so important, fundamental peace with God. It is possible. And we need to examine ourselves. You see, we might find that general peace in human terms, like a walk in the park with a dog, might be peaceful. Sitting by a slow-moving river, or feeding the ducks or the swans in the pond or the lake, might be peaceful. You might have no quarrels with family or friends. But have you peace with God? That's the important question that we need to ask ourselves this morning. Have we peace with God? A reconciling peace through justification. Secondly, then, in our sermon this morning, we are looking at peace, the peace of God. Not just peace with God, but the peace of God. See, we can't have the peace of God without having peace with God. So I want to speak now about a personal peace through sanctification, reading from Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. We'll read it again. "Be careful for nothing," the apostle says, "but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Then," he says, "and the peace of God, Only when we do those things that is detailed in verse 6, he says then, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. A personal peace through sanctification. Paul tells us in verse 6 to be careful. The word careful means to be anxious. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In this verse, the Apostle Paul is setting out for us the manner of life, whereby the peace of God that is recorded in verse 7 becomes ours. It's simple. He is telling us that the Christian man or woman is not to be taken up with undue care for the things of this life, which puts this life before the things of God, before the service of the Lord. And he's telling us to beware of these things and not to do those things that puts the things of God behind those things that we do in this life. We need to be careful. You remember what the Apostle John said in his first epistle in chapter 2 in verse 15. He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. That's an admonition. But it is not only ungodly trends and fashions we are to avoid. And listen carefully, because I think this is very, very important. But even the legitimate everyday work needs to be considered if it takes up all our time. You remember in Luke chapter 10, the two sisters, Martha and Mary. You remember, who lived in Bethany. And the Lord loved them and their brother Lazarus. Remember Martha and Mary. And the Lord was at their home. And Martha was in the kitchen, as it were. And she was, as it tells us in verse 40 of Luke chapter 10, she was cumbered about with much work. She was getting it all to do. And her sister Mary was sitting, perhaps in the living room, as it were, listening to what the Lord was saying. One in the kitchen and one in the living room. And Martha was discontented with her lot. And she comes to the Lord and she says, Lord, do you not care? Do you not care? Imagine asking the Lord Jesus that. Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me alone to do all these things? Notice the response of the Lord. He says, Martha, Martha. Says her name twice to bring into focus the very thing that he was going to say to her. Martha, Martha, thou art careful. Now see that word careful. That is the very same word as the Apostle Paul uses here in Philippians chapter 4 when he says, be careful for nothing. It means don't be anxious. Don't be distracted. Martha, Martha, thou art careful, thou art anxious and distracted and troubled about many things. That's what he's saying to her. Martha, you are distracted. You are anxious and troubled about many things, about things that do not matter. And he sings, but your sister, but Mary has chosen the one good thing, and it will not be taken away from her. This is a very, very important lesson for us today, that we must make sure and ensure in our own homes that we give attention to reading this word and meditating in prayer. Of course, there are necessary and practical things that need to be done. We're not saying that there isn't, but we need to have a proper perspective on them. We do not do those things to the detriment of our time spent with God. And that's a lesson here. That's a lesson. That was a lesson to Martha. And it's a lesson to us today. You see, when we regulate our lives in order that we might maintain a constant and prayerful, thankful life, it is like when we come to the throne of grace in Hebrews chapter 4, when it tells us to come boldly onto the throne of grace. And what for? That we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You see, when we give ourselves to the reading and the meditation, the prayerful meditation of the Word of God, and when we come to that throne of grace, then we obtain mercy. We obtain mercy and we find grace to help in that time of need. So when there's difficult times that come in our lives, then we have that store, when we have found grace and mercy to help in that time of need. These are important things to remember and to understand. You see, dear friends, prayer is a pathway to personal peace. Prayer is the pathway to personal peace. It is the peace of God. It is the peace of God that the world cannot give, and neither can it take away. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus in John chapter 14 and verse 27 to his disciples. These are the words of the Lord Christ. And this is what he said: "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Don't be anxious or distracted or troubled like Martha was. Commit all our ways to God. Let not your heart be troubled. Trust in God. God's going to see and oversee everything that you do on your way to glory. Don't let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You see, dear friends, true peace, just like true joy, is only found in the presence of God. And us being obedient to those things in which we are instructed, that we can find perfect peace, and the peace with God and the peace of God. You see, prayer and anxiety, prayer and distraction, prayer and a troubled life are mutually exclusive. They just simply cannot coexist together. King David in Psalm 55 and verse 22 said, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. Cast thy burden on the Lord and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." It is with this perspective and with this reliance on God and the things of God that impact our lives, both great and small, that the Christian man and woman experiences the peace of God. With things big and things small. Paul tells us in verse 7 of Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7, he tells us, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding." What does that mean? The peace of God that passes all understanding. That is, it is of a very different nature to anything that can be understood by human reasoning. That's simply what it means. It passes all understanding. Human reason cannot comprehend what it means. It passes all understanding. Because that peace of God is divine in its origin. That's why. It is the peace of God. And it is as a consequence in verse 7, and also when it says, "Shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And as a consequence, that peace of God, as a consequence, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You see those words again? It's all through Christ Jesus. It's all through him. All through him. Everything that we have and are and ever hope to be is all through what Christ has done for us. The Apostle Paul says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts." Isn't that lovely? Isn't that lovely? "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful." Isn't that beautiful? Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. So in conclusion, dear friends, what have we learned today? And how are we to apply that by way of application? Well, first of all, peace with God is of the utmost importance, because it determines for each one of us where we will spend eternity. We must ask and answer for ourselves today this vital question. And it is a vital question. And it perhaps is the most important question that we will ever ask ourselves. And the question is this: am I reconciled to God? Am I reconciled to God? Secondly, justification by faith alone is God declaring the believer righteous in his Son, Jesus Christ. The effect of this justification is peace with God. That's the effect of it, peace with God. It is a one-off imputation, never again to be repeated. Justification by faith is a one-off imputation, and it is by God's grace alone. It is not by any merit of the sinner. Justification can never be forfeited or lost. We will always have peace with God, although we may not always have the peace of God through our own carelessness in spiritual matters. It's important to understand that. And thirdly, the peace of God, like true joy, can only be found in the presence of God. And that is in obedience and conformity to the Word of God. By reading, by diligence, by prayer, by Bible study, by meditation, and by an observable godly life. Is that you this morning? Is it? Is that you? Is that me this morning? Important questions to ask yourself. And finally, number four. Peace with God and the peace of God are only experienced through our Lord Jesus Christ. You may enjoy for a time a temporal peace with men, but it will not be lasting. See, outside of Christ there is no peace of God. And there certainly is no peace with God. And that will have eternal consequences. Okay, amen. Thank you this morning for your attention. I'm going to finish and conclude then by singing from Psalm 128, please.